You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. That's right. Be excited. I'm back. Joseph's back. We both celebrated Christmas with a day off, even though Joseph doesn't celebrate it.
My wife does. We open presents. We have a tree.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that part. But either way, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. And we're coming into the new year with some good Utes sports news. We've got some hot topics to talk about. The week in review, or 2 weeks in review, went pretty well. So let's start with my first quick hitter. It's not on there, but Gary Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Gary. Welcome back.
Is it ninth or tenth assistant? What do you think?
I think you're going to see most schools promote a graduate assistant to a coaching job. Or pull somebody up from the lower ranks to, like, add a position coach. Utah, maybe USC, Alabama, some of those other big budget schools, almost nobody can go out and find an experienced, talented, well-regarded head coach and just bring them in and say, you know, come teach kids. And I think it's perfect for Gary. If you really look at Gary's career, I think what you see is a portrait of a guy who doesn't like being a head coach. And people can say, well, why did he leave Wisconsin? Why did he turn down all that money? Well, because he doesn't like it. That's the only thing that makes sense. And so I think what is going to happen is he's going to get out there and he's going to teach kids how to play football. And that's what he wants to do. And I'm hoping he'll be there for a while. It could be a retread thing. He could be thinking, well, I'll do this for a year or two and then go get another head coaching job. But I don't think so. I think he's going to be really happy, and I think he's going to be really successful. And as long as there's no power dynamic problems, which maybe would be the thing I'd be worried about, because he used to be Scally's coach when Scally was a safety. And that could create problems, but I don't think it will, because Whittingham rules his meeting rooms with an iron fist. But I love it. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's good, right? Like, there's been some parts of the defense we've been disappointed in. Specifically for me, the lack of pressure on the quarterbacks. Hopefully, Gary might be able to help hone the defensive line a little bit more. I see him more like helping where it's needed, not trying to take over the defense and game plan and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he liked or disliked being a head coach, but look, he's a Utah native. Outside of his short stints in Wisconsin and Oregon State, all of his coaching jobs have been here in Utah. He played in Utah. I think there's an amount of he wants to come home. I mean, cue the music. He's coming home. So,
didn't we do that already this year or last year? No, somebody else came home. I don't know.
Yes, recent. I can't remember who it was.
Matter.
I am no historian, but either way, I'm intrigued to see how it all works out. If Scally, you know, goes away, maybe he takes a head coaching job.
Yeah,
Gary goes straight into that DC role. Mm-hmm. I mean. We're looking years in advance here. Ultimately, all I want it to do is lead to a better defense for the Utes next season.
And I think it will definitely do that. And I don't think fans need to see it as a sign that some big change is brewing, that Whittingham's thinking of leaving or Scally's thinking of leaving. But I agree that it does provide sort of additional stability that if somebody does leave, because it's a mercurial profession and people leave all the time, there's more stability there. There's names available within the program so that it could survive that blow without much of a loss to performance. But I agree. In the short term, it's going to be tackles and ends playing better football. And that could be huge, especially next year, which I'm got my circled on my calendar now for a while, but I'm extra excited about this point.
All right. There's your way too much time probably on Gary Anderson tidbit. So let's talk about our favorite thing in the quick hitters segment is reviewing Kyle Kuzma and seeing how he's doing. Apparently, he may have had too much fun on New Year's Eve in L.A. One of his worst games, 6 points, 2-7 shooting with a rebound and an assist. That's just not who Kuzma's been for the Lakers.
It was the flu game, quote-unquote flu game for Kyle Kuzma. But overall, he's been great, and I hear more and more people talking. The narrative struggle has been everybody came into this thing wanting to talk about the ball kid because his dad is interesting. Well, definitely everybody can agree he's interesting, whatever your opinions.
All I can do is shake my head.
Yes, yes. I wish we had a camera just for that head shake. But I think that people have finally come around to this idea that Ball is not the rookie to watch. It's Kuzma, and that's been cool to see. And he's mostly been doing really well. He's taken a lot of shots lately, which is a good thing, and I think, again, represents that sort of him taking over the heir apparent next great Laker role that he's trying to take.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Well, that's his objective, right? That's what he wants. That's what he wants people to
that's
see.
That's not what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But that's his goal. That's what he wants people to
see.
He wants
to be a great NBA player.
Is this the next guy? Well, maybe not. But you're not going to find out unless he takes 20 shots a game, which is what he's doing. He's climbing up. He's at 16.6 right now. But he's doing great despite the... maybe got used to that Utah nightlife and the LA nightlife took him a little bit by surprise, and
the travel to the Timberwolves. Yeah, it was just wasn't a good game.
18 minutes.
Well, so there's our Kuzma watch. Now let's talk some bowl game because it did happen.
It was great. It was fun. It was easy. It was a little less entertaining because the conclusion was kind of foregone for a while. But it was nice to have a nice, comfortable just win. Just Kyle Whittingham went out there, and he now coached Dana Holgerson in a couple of weeks previous. And the defense played amazingly well. They had a lot of guys out. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But so did Utah. Utah was missing their whole secondary. That was the second string secondary out there. And they played great. And against some really, really good wide receivers. And in particular, Julian Blackman, who's a starting cornerback, made a name for himself nationally. A lot of people went,
oh, yeah,
that guy can play. And he really can. There's two on either side NFL quality cornerbacks for Utah. And they're going to play next year, and they're going to play the year after that. And they're probably both going to leave a little early for the NFL because they're really, really good players. Yeah. But
so West Virginia is a decent team, but they didn't have their starting quarterback. And that offensive line couldn't protect that poor backup.
I think they're missing,
life.
A tackle and a guard,
okay.
And that made a bigger difference than anything.
Because that guy got lit up.
It was bad. There were a couple of times. Lowell apparently got a talking to from Coach McBride, came in and sat down with Lowell and was like, what are you doing this year, guy? You're not fighting. You're not being aggressive. You're not doing your stuff. And I guess that had an effect because he was Hulk mode in the first quarter, and he was just throwing these offensive linemen all over the field. And then he would just homicide that poor Chuganov guy. I mean, it was hard
bad
to see. I tweeted out and went, I was like, if this keeps happening, he's not going to finish the game. I mean,
no,
he's just getting hit too hard.
Cart that guy.
Yeah,
off.
It was brutal.
He was taking hits. It was horrible. So, I mean, like you said, entertainment value plummeted. I mean, Deeds took control, and, you know, even I lost interest.
Yeah.
I mean, They have.
I watched, but it was, you know, it was pretty de facto by the end.
Yeah, I mean, but every, you know, the nice thing is everything looked like you wanted it to look. The dominant Utah defense, the offense put up some points, played pretty well.
Except tight ends couldn't catch the freaking ball.
I'm going to go through the film at some point and look at, and I'm not going to count drops as catches, but what I like to do is I like to take out those plays and just count kind of the plays that worked, quote unquote. Like if you only count plays that worked for Tyler Huntley, he rushed for over 6 yards per carry. He had a really good running game. He wound up with like 2 yards per carry because he got sacked 6 times, but he had a good running game, and I'm curious to see what his passing numbers look like if you take those tight end and drops out, because that was a huge part of his weak completion percentage and stuff. But I thought everybody except the tight ends had a really good game. The pieces were clicking. Things were moving the way they were supposed to. A lot of people want to see more carries for Zach Moss, including Zach Moss. He tweeted out that he should have had 30 carries. He didn't seem mad about it, but he had, you know, you're pushing 10 yards per carry. You should probably carry the ball more than 20 times. More than the quarterback does. I don't know. I mean, that's the offense, and it's working. And if he carries it 20 times, he carries it 20 times, and either Huntley is going to figure out how to take less contact, or he's going to figure out how to carry the ball less often, or he's going to get hurt, and we're going to see what Jack Tuttle or Jason Shelley can do. And
Zach Moss is going to get more carries.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. It's all okay.
As long as this offense works and he puts up numbers, I know he might want to touch the ball more, but he's still going to get what he wants out of this. He's going to play well at Utah. This NFL scouts are going to see him, and he will totally have a shot at what the end goal is, because no one comes to a D1 program at his level of ability not expecting to get to the NFL.
Yeah. He's very talented and expects all of those things and is earning them. I think it's hard to disentangle his success from Huntley running the ball. I mean, that's a huge problem for defenses. And they've been able to control it by assigning extra players and changing the way the defense works. But that's what part of what opens up the offense. Zach Moss has no business running a 50-yard touchdown. He's not fast enough to outrun, you know, a West Virginia free safety. But the West Virginia free safety has to be somewhere else, because Huntley can throw and Huntley can run. And that lets Moss kind of lumber into the end zone like that. And maybe he should be carrying the ball more. And I think that's fair. But it's not a given. It may be that the exact thing that makes him so successful is that he's only getting the ball when he should. And he's not getting wasted carries that are getting tackles for a loss or anything like that. And Huntley is giving him the ball on option plays when it's the perfect time to give him. And Huntley's making exactly the right reads and helping Zach Moss look like the best running back in the country when maybe he's one of the best running backs in the country.
Yeah. I mean, also, the one thing that I keep thinking of is when Zach Moss saved Huntley from that fumble.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, they work together. I mean, there's a chemistry there, right? They played in high school.
You'd think they wouldn't have any problems.
Well, I think I'm saying the chemistry is what saved that being a fumble. And I think there's a chemistry there. And I think we're going to see it more and more, especially this coming year. I mean, everybody is looking at the Utes, at least on Twitter and whatnot, to really come through with a big year.
I got numbers to crunch, and I'm not making a call yet, but I am pumped. I'm 1280 radio host hyped for 2018. It's going to be good.
All right. I hope you're right. We'll see. But there is an active sports season going on. It's called basketball, Joseph. I know it's a foreign world to you.
Oh, I miss football already. I've been so long. so long. I like basketball. I like gymnastics, but I miss football already.
Yeah. So, hey, you brought it up. We'll give it some run. Gymnastics, one of the best programs at the U.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk about this week. Off and on.
They start this week.
Yeah.
First match is on Friday against BYU, I believe. It's at 7. Well, there will be some crushing. Apparently, the team's going to be really good. And Coach Madsen, I want to say. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. I'm blanking out right now.
No, but, I think that's right.
Is saying this team's going to be really good because Mikayla Skinner should have more support from her back the rest of the team. Where last year, she was last in the rotation in every event, really expecting to hold down the scores, hopefully less pressure this time, and the team will do better, which they had a great year last year, so we'll see.
They're also changing their training regimen, which I thought is interesting. They felt like they peaked at conference championships last year, so they're kind of slowing their training curve a little bit to try and peak at nationals. Which is cool to be so dominant that you're like, we're going to kind of slow play it a little bit. So when we get to nationals, which we will, we'll be in the best shape. But that's really fun. That's like what, you know, the Cavs and the Warriors do. They're like, oh, we'll just take a few days off because we'll get to the playoffs and then we'll turn on. Totally. To have that switch to flip is pretty cool. And they're also working on sticking the landings, which is really important because there's lower scoring in gymnastics. You can't get over a 10, so you don't need to work as much on doing the crazy skills. It's more about being technically sound throughout your routine and not screwing up.
Got to be technical.
Sticking landings matters. Anyway, moving on, basketball.
Wait, I still wanted to talk gymnastics.
Oh, all right.
No, I'm kidding.
The gymnastics podcast.
All I can say is we're season ticket holders. I'll be there Friday.
We're rebranding. It'll be fun. And this is the Gymnastics Talk podcast.
Nah, so basketball. It's interesting. Coming from the week that we had, this last week, a road win in Oregon and Oregon State. Good wins. I was really concerned about the Oregon game, especially at the half. I didn't know what the youths were going to do. Come back. Good play. I mean, it's interesting. I think Chris Kovyak said they had three turnovers in that game.
Three, which is unheard of for this team. That was a huge story. Whether or not it could continue, I don't know. But it was a really, really big deal. How many turnovers did they have against?
I believe they had 12 against
Oregon,
which is what we expect, right? That's what we're going to see against Oregon State, excuse me.
And that's what most teams, I mean, it's not unusual to have 9-10. Three is weird. Nope. I mean, it's unusual for almost any team to have numbers like that. The other thing I want to talk about is Justin Bibbins, who has really come on strong, and in particular has taken over the scorer's role. Against BYU, he took 4 shots in 34 minutes. Against Utah State, he took 8 shots in 38 minutes. Northwestern, Oregon, and Oregon State, about the same number of minutes, 14, 11, and 13 shots. He's decided he's the guy who's going to score, and he's doing it. And I think that's probably the absence of Donnie Tillman. I don't know if that perfectly coincides, but this is a big change for Bibbins, and he's shooting hot. So let him play, let him shoot. He's great right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading the team. He's being that floor general. He's tough on D, responding offensively. I mean, he's the best player in conference play, but here's this small sample size, right? So what are some things we did learn? One, the youths are actually capable of controlling their turnovers, which if they did that alone, they win more games than they did last year, and they win more games than any of us would expect.
Would be very, very good.
Yeah, if they could do that.
Average through the conference season, say 6 or 7 turnovers a game, they'd be one of the best teams in the conference, and I would say almost certainly get a tournament berth.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers kind of annoy me, if you didn't know. But the other thing...
efficient.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing we've really learned, at least for me, is we know what the rotation is now. It's very clear. There's 8 players that are playing. You're going to see some minutes drop off once Tillman is back. Maybe if Seeley ever gets to play in, you might see some minutes move around. But otherwise, these are your 8 guys that are going to play. They're not. And then, you know, Parker Van Dyke's going to have, you know, he might lose a ton of minutes, actually, when Donnie Tillman comes back. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Gabe Beeler's minutes drop down either.
Yeah, that seems about right. Tillman's been a real revelation. It'll be nice to have him back. Although, buzz seems to be that he may not be back immediately, that it's a real injury that has sort of an ending period, and that he will come back and he will be better and be 100%, but that he's going to miss a few more games here, and that it's not sort of a will he or won't he thing, like a hamstring strain or something, but more of a, you know, he's got to wait this long for this thing to knit back together or whatever the heck happens in there.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, right? So kind of the going storyline the rest of the season is going to be, how good is this team, right? We had the non-conference, the lackluster BYU play, losing to Butler, who might be better than we thought. They took down Villanova over the weekend. And just the week on a conference schedule altogether. So what do we expect in Pac-12 play? I didn't expect them to win at Oregon and Oregon State. We might be all... So there's a lot of fans that are pretty excited. Well, now we play Arizona as Arizona State this week.
Maybe temper expectations a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to learn real quick if the Utes are top-tier Pac-12. I think we're going to learn... What we're really going to learn is that they belong in that 4-6 range. And if they can do well enough in conference, they might be a bubble tournament team. Yeah. That's what they are.
They're going to have to win a few more games that they shouldn't, I think, to squeak in.
Yeah.
And these next two games are not the games they have to win to get in. I mean, there's very few... It's just a very low chance that they're actually going to win either of these games, and that's okay. What you want to see is you want to see a team that, because they're at home, is able to be competitive, to hang with these guys, to show the kind of ability that they're going to need, so that when they're playing Oregon again, when they get Oregon at home, do they get Oregon? I have to look at the schedule. When they play these other teams, USC, they get the W's, and that's when they're going to need to get them, and that's what they're going to need to do to prove that they deserve a place in the tournament. I don't think it's likely. I look at the schedule, and I just don't see enough quality wins on there. The loss to BYU was really bad.
Well, ultimately, unfortunately, we need BYU to do well this year. We need Butler to do well this year. That'll help. And then...
Missouri's doing really well, even without... What's his bucket? The tall guy. They're all tall. But...
well, their number one draft pick until he hurt his... Otto Porter Jr. That's who it is.
Yeah.
But
they're still a really good team, really good record, and competing in the SEC will be a tournament team. So that's a really good win still, despite the loss of their star.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting also. I mean, if they pull out a couple of wins against Arizona, Arizona State, maybe not this weekend, but maybe one on the road, maybe one this weekend. I mean, that's building a resume. And then what do they do in the Pac-12 tournament?
Yeah, that'll be important. And how they're seeded and their opportunity to kind of go a few rounds in, even if they don't win it, as long as they're not the bottom of the thing, so they play the really good teams early. That's the goal, is be on the other side of the bracket and get to work your way up. I'm going to be at the Arizona game. I'm going to be covering it tomorrow from the press box, so You can follow me on Twitter for my slightly inexpert evaluation. But it should be fun.
Well, hopefully the Huntsman Center is rocking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a raucous environment because ultimately those environments is what makes college sports so much fun. I mean, here's a regular season game against Arizona. Should be an amazing environment to play in. It's something, at least, I love about college sports. If I go to a Jazz game, unless it's a close game against a big opponent, it's not going to be that raucous. Half this arena might even be empty. But a college game, minimal seats, smaller confines, big opponent, should be pretty loud, pretty awesome environment to play in, to watch a game. Good luck not cheering in the press box, honestly.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
It is.
You stick your hands up, and you go, that was an impressive play by Mr. Bibbins. So that kind of thing.
But or it's just the, that was really good. And you type a note about it, and then you're done.
But it's not just us, especially up in the football press box. Like, I can't remember which game. I think it was North Dakota. Marquise Blair laid out that offensive tackle. You remember that? It was amazing. Yeah. And everybody kind of lost it because it was just too good of a play not to cheer.
No, there's always the moments during games where the whole press box reacts. It's neutral. It's not a, hey, yes, go Utes. It's a, oh, dang, I can't believe he just did that kind of a moment. It's pretty funny.
The moments are impressive, and so you can sort of be impressed by the athleticism without cheering. But there's a lot of Ute fans in those press boxes, so it tends to lean one way.
No, it's fun to be. I mean, the press box is fine. I mean, it's a little bit more fun to be in the stands cheering with the fan personally, but it's a good time nonetheless.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I'm like shocked. I thought we were going to go longer.
We nailed it. I know. I looked at our list of things to talk about. I said we're going to be here for 2 hours, but we got it all. And you guys have joined us on this 26-minute and counting journey. And we even got to cover gymnastics and go Utes.
Whoa. Huh? You forgot.
I forgot something.
There's a key mathematical thing.
Oh, yes.
We need to remind people. And we're going to keep reminding them. Until two things happen. Either we're getting more reviews or we're getting emailed to shut up about it.
Tell us why you don't like it.
But hey, you're listening to the show. Please go review the show. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can listen. Tune in. I think we're even there now. If we're not, please let me know. We should be. And email us or DM us or tweet at us. And tell us what's wrong or what you want us to cover. We're happy to make some changes. We want to make this a great podcast about our Utah's athletics programs.
And especially here as we're entering this summer.
Yeah.
It's a new environment for everybody. We got all sorts of time and we can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, so it's off-season football. Other things are in season. We'll talk about those things. But hey, what ideas do you guys have or things you'd like to see during the off season? Because we're open to ideas. We're going to see them out and see what happens.
Sounds good.
But yeah, get on reviews. Reach out to us at Ute Talk. Let's hear at Ute Talk Podcast on Twitter, utetalk@gmail.com for email. As far as me, Grant TBS on Twitter.
I'm at Jay Silverswag, which if you can spell it, you can find me. And go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.